Well, hello, 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 everybody. Welcome to another Kick-Ass Career Conversation. It is Friday afternoon here if you're joining us live. It is Friday evening if you're across the pond, which is where our guest is coming from. I am Kim, and I'm joined by my co-host,
Louise. That's me.
Yeah, I kind of forgot her name there for a second, maybe.
you wish.
Oh, I don't know if to be offended or not. And our lovely guest today is Caroline. And Caroline, you are joining us from where in the world?
I am in Germany, although originally from the UK.
That right. So generally speaking, when you say you're in Germany or you're from Germany right now, people probably are like, that's not a German accent.
Exactly. Very definitely. I could start speaking in German and confuse everyone, but we won't go there.
Okay, fair. Although if you get like that tickles your fancy, go for it. We won't know what you're saying, but go for it. So we will tell the world a little bit more about you in just a second, but we want to start this conversation how we start every week. What are we celebrating this week?
Oh, go ahead, Caroline. What are you celebrating?
I'm celebrating a couple of things, actually. I'm celebrating the fact that my kids are on Easter break because I love having them at home. No appointments. We don't have to be anywhere. We can just relax. And that for me is a massive celebration. And then professionally, I'm celebrating, it's actually today, is cart close on my group coaching program. So I've had an amazing week with that, which has been so fun. So I'm celebrating that as well.
Congratulations on both.
Yeah.
huge feat.
Yeah.
Louise, do you know what you're celebrating?
I do know what I'm celebrating. It is spring break here for my kiddo too. And as we launch into the Easter weekend, I have some folks traveling from out of town to visit me, and my kiddo. And so I don't have a lot of like close by, right? Like in this big global world that we have now, it's easy to stay, in connection with people from all over the place. But to actually get some face time, is so, yeah, I'm celebrating that and having my friends in from out of town.
Yay. Mm-hmm. I am celebrating that today is our 100th episode.
That's right.
See, this is proof positive that, yes, every week Louise shows up to have a great conversation but doesn't know what the hell is going on.
I do know what's going on.
I know you do.
In other places.
Yes.
Just not here all the time.
Well, but isn't it a wonderful thing to be in partnership with somebody, with people that, right, we trust, we know that like we just need to show up and do our part and the other people are showing up and doing their parts. And that is absolutely part of the 100th episode celebration because not only do Louise and I get to do that every week, we get to show up for each other in different ways and then get to do that publicly with you all. We also get to do that each week with our guests. Like you literally, Caroline, you saw that we were looking for some people to join us and you're like, I have something to say. And here you are. We haven't talked before.
No. And I'm celebrating on your 100th episode. That's very exciting. I had seen it was your 100th and I was like, oh, how cool is that?
Right. Yeah. It's a party. It's going to be a party up in here while we're talking about really important things, which we'll get to in a second. But I do want to let the world know a little bit more about you or at least what you have shared with us. Okay. So Caroline has had several career changes over the years and started her KonMari.
Yeah.
Okay. Business at the age of 48. She believes it's never too late to pivot and start something new. And she's also done this while supporting one of her child who has autism through mental health crisis. She has three kids, two are neurodivergent. And so she knows the struggle of not being able to plan a day and in knowing it will all work out as planned. She needs to be super flexible and find those solutions, but she does not, and I love this. I loved this when I read this. She does not believe in work-life balance. So I used to have a newsletter that was called Balance is Bullshit. So work-life balance is, I'm sure we'll get into that as well. So as a KonMari professional, KonMari consultant and professional organizer, she helps busy women declutter and organize to create a home that supports their ideal lifestyle. Originally from the UK, she's been living in Germany for the past 18 years and is fluent in German, thankfully. She's married and, like I said, has three kids and too many pets. I don't think there is a thing. Caroline, we are so glad you're here with us.
I'm very glad to be here. Thank you for having me.
An expert pivoter.
Yes, I am the master of pivoting.
Well, I thought that was your job, Louise.
Well, I mean, yes, and I'm really curious. Like, tell me, and tell us and our listeners a little bit about. I'm really curious about those pivots specifically, and like where you thought you were going to end up. Is it where you ended up?
No, nowhere near. So I left school and went to university and studied music, and I used to play cello, and that was my thing, and I loved it. But it became very clear to me, I'm not the sort of person who's going to sit and practice for hours every day to be in and playing in an orchestra. So I decided to train as a classroom music teacher, teaching kids up to the age of 18 in the UK. And that's what I did for years. And I went on to become assistant head teacher, and I was doing my head teacher training. It was all going really well. And so I just assumed I would live out my days as a head teacher somewhere in the UK. And would have been quite happy with that. And then one Sunday, I decided to join a group for a hike. And there I met Ralph, who happened to be spending 2 years in the UK from Germany. And 6 months later, I moved to Germany with him. Not speaking a word of German, rented out my house, sold my car, just dropped everything and went for love. Crazy. When I think back about it, totally crazy. And I was very fortunate that a local international school was looking for a part-time music teacher. So I could actually go to work and speak English every day at this international school. And that was great. And within 2 years, we had got married and had our first child and went on to have two more. And it became quite obvious that me going back full-time as a teacher was not going to work with our family. And so I decided to set up my own business doing fun classes for expat mums in my local area, doing music, English, not teaching English, but just giving them something to come along to and do in English, because I hadn't had that for my kids when they were little. And I'd really missed having that opportunity. And that grew, and it was great. And I loved it. And it was really popular. And one day I went along for some free business advice. And the lady said to me, do you really want when you're 60 to still be sitting on the floor singing these same little kid songs? And I was like, yeah, it'd be fine. I'm going to love it. It'll be great. But it sowed this seed, and then COVID hit and I couldn't teach my classes. And I had become obsessed with the KonMari method in 2014. When I had applied the KonMari method in our home, my kids were tiny and I was so stressed and so overwhelmed, didn't have any family nearby. And I just was like permanently feeling stressed. And my sister had sent me a British Good Housekeeping through the post, and I was reading it one day and saw this article about this new book that had come out, The Life-Changing Magic of Tidying Up. And I got onto Amazon and ordered a copy. It arrived the next day, and the sort of rest is history. I started step by step applying the method to our home. It took me a year because I'd got all the kids around all the time. And I could just slowly feel myself getting calmer as I knew where things were in the house, and we had less, and it was just easier. Mm. And one day we were about to leave the house, and my then four-year-old said to me, why are you a nicer mummy now?
Oh.
And I was like, whoa, okay, that's huge. Because before, getting out the house would have been a massive me having a go at everyone, where's your coat? And blah, blah, blah. And I was just calm and we were just doing it. And she noticed that there was this change. So fast forward, and we're back to when COVID hit, and I happened to see online that you could train online to be a KonMari consultant. I didn't even know it was a thing. And I remember going for a walk with my husband and I said, I'm going to train as a KonMari consultant. And he was like, oh, here we go again. Next pivot. because my previous business, when I started it, teaching to these little kids, he used to refer to it as my hobby because yes, that didn't go down well, believe me. So here was my next hobby that I was going to do. And I did the training and I fell in love with it. It was just amazing. So I continued running my other business parallel for the first year. And then I sold that on and I've been full time doing the KonMari thing since then. Working online with people, working one-on-one in homes with people. It's grown and it's just amazing. I love it.
And you just have your group program that just launched.
Yeah, I have an online group program, which I launch twice a year that runs for 6 weeks. And I also have an online membership, which people can be in full time if they want to. And then I have a podcast as well. So it's sort of exploded. And the podcast I love, I'm really passionate about it. And in fact, one of the ladies that's in charge of all the KonMari consultants internationally, she had a chat with me the other week and she listens to it. And I said to her, can I have permission to put KonMari like in a tagline? And she said, no, because it's Caroline inspired. So I thought that was really cool. Yeah. She said, don't do it. It's your thing. Don't add the KonMari bit. So that was really, really nice to hear.
I love that. I've been having so many conversations just this week, as a matter of fact, with amazing entrepreneurial women about owning our own stuff, right? That this is our stuff that we do, putting our name on something of what we've created. We don't need permission. Mm-hmm. We get to own it for ourselves. Yeah. So I love that she gave you that gift. Beautiful. Yeah. Question for you, right? So today's topic is really about this idea of less is more and decluttering. And we added in this for your mental health because I think you really spoke to it is at that time when your then 4-year-old said, why are you a kinder mommy? Like, what was that shift for yourself from having all the stuff to being a kinder mommy?
I used to really worry what other people thought if they came round to our home. And it was never bad, but I just had this, I guess, a pressure from society that if people come round, it should look like I'm in control of things. It should be tidied up. So if people were coming, it was this mad pick up piles of paper, stuff them in a drawer. We've all done it. Open the cupboard, push the toys in and close it again so that when people come round, it looks like we've got it together. We're okay. But it meant I could never find anything because there were regularly people coming around. And the more I stuffed into drawers and then didn't get it out again after they went. I once spent a week looking for our family passports that I'd put in a safe place. I mean, but I didn't know where they, luckily I started looking a week before we went on holiday because my husband was having kittens about it. It, you know, that was the sort of stress I was under, or, you know, we'd be about to leave the house and one of the kids would get a dirty nappy and I'd go to put a clean nappy on only to find the drawer was empty. Okay. But where have I put the new ones that I bought, or buying more of stuff, forgetting that I already had that at home. And, you know, all this sort of, it just gets too much. And the main thing was really not being able to find things when I wanted them without it feeling stressful. You know, when you get that sort of knot in your stomach of like, oh, I really need that piece of paper to go to this appointment. It's really important. And you're turning the house upside down looking for it. It was that sort of stress. And I was obviously reflecting that onto my kids in that because I was frustrated and overwhelmed, they were picking up on that. Even if I was trying to be calm with them, they hear it in your voice. They can tell by your facial expressions that you can say it any which way you like. Kids are not silly. They will read the signs, especially my child with autism. He knows exactly what's going on. So that's basically how it was affecting me. And then it started to be that I knew where everything was and I felt in control and I didn't feel like I was playing this game anymore of keeping house, which is, I didn't feel like a real adult before. I felt like I hadn't got it all to, I felt like I was sort of, yeah, pulling the wool over everyone's eyes. They all think she's fine, but actually I knew I wasn't. And in fact, a very good friend who used to come over every Friday for dinner with her kids, they'd come for the whole afternoon. And she's recently heard me talking about this. And she said, I had no idea. No, I mean, I was hiding it from everyone, how overwhelmed I was feeling. So that really started to calm when I didn't have too many clothes in the house, which meant the laundry was more manageable, which meant I could open my closet in the morning and I knew everything was going to fit. I wasn't throwing things out looking for that top. You know, everything's there, organized. The kids had less clothes. I knew where the paperwork was. That's a huge one. And that's a huge one for a lot of my clients, not knowing where the papers are. Even if you don't realize it's bothering you, it's there in the back of your mind. It's in your subconscious that you haven't got control over everything. And that plays on your mental health. And it means that you can't do the things you want to do. And I remember once sitting on the floor of my living room playing with my kids, and I should have been present for them and I should have been enjoying it. But I was looking around the room thinking, I haven't really got time for this. It's a mess in here. I should be tidying up. And to be able to then really be present with them at all times and also have time for me to do things I wanted to do was huge. And it just sort of lifted this weight off me. So I think that's how it most impacted me.
Yeah, it's that mental clutter, right? Mm. That just can keep us from being present in the moment. It robs energy from us. But it's clutter that manifests or breeds more mental clutter too. Yeah.
And I think also as women, we are very prone to holding everything for everyone in our heads. We know which kid should be where, for which appointment, for which practice. We know who's got birthdays coming up. Whatever side of the family they're on, we're the one that's buying presents and organizing it all and getting the kids. But it's everything. And then don't even start with Christmas and for you guys, Thanksgiving and stuff as well. So we're juggling all this in our heads. And yet the home, when it's not organized, doesn't help with any of that. It exasperates everything and makes it so much harder. And I think so many women do not realize the impact their home is having on their mental well-being. Because when it is decluttered and organized and everyone in the family knows where everything is and doesn't have to keep asking you, it just makes everything calmer. And it makes it easier. And it means it's not all down to you. Everyone can share in the responsibility of it.
Well, I think that goes back to what I was saying about the ownership even of our businesses, like owning the moniker of I am a business owner, I'm an entrepreneur. It's not a hobby, right? This is my business. This is my methodology. That ownership of what do you have the responsibility of for the family, for the household, for even if you live alone, right? What is truly your responsibility versus anybody else's?
Yeah.
And allowing us to come to that decluttered mental state of saying, these are the only things I need to be responsible for. And so how can I streamline those and give them all a place, give them all a home so that I know how to do this or what I need to do with this or where that thing is. That allows us to truly step into that place of ownership and say, no, if it's outside of this purview, I don't need to clutter my brain and my space with it. It's not mine. And yet it's so hard for us to do.
Absolutely. And I think for so many entrepreneurs, we work from home. And then our homes become a distraction from what we are actually wanting to do. It's like, I'm here, but actually there's something going on in the living room that really needed sorting out, or the washing needs doing, or whatever it happens to be. If your environment is cluttered and disorganized, it distracts you from your business as well.
100%. Yeah.
Absolutely. All right. So tell our listeners a little bit about KonMari and kind of like this whole, just in case you live in a shoebox.
I was going to say, just in case you don't know anything about it.
Well, you say that, but I was actually doing an online course with someone a few weeks ago, and I made a reel, and she was looking at it for me, and she said, yeah, that's, I'd said something about KonMari. She said, but I don't know what KonMari is. I was like, oh, okay. So there are people out there. So the KonMari method was invented by Marie Kondo, who is a Japanese lady who now lives in the US. And there are a couple of premises about it. The first one is, before you even start, you are meant to visualize your ideal lifestyle. So what is it you want time to do in your life that you don't have time to do now? Or how do you want to use your space? So, for example, you might be really into yoga and want to have a space clear all the time where you can just roll your mat out and have it stored nearby, or even have the mat rolled out all the time, so you don't have to have that extra step, that barrier to actually doing the thing you want to do. So visualizing your ideal lifestyle so that you create a home that supports it. And so many of us have homes that are more like storage units. It's a space in which we keep stuff. And we think it's stuff we love and we need, but it very often isn't, because it's not helping the life we want now and the life we want to have. It doesn't support us in any way, shape, or form. So the first thing is visualizing your ideal lifestyle. And then the second thing, which is so, so different to the way most people tidy, is you declutter and organize by category, not by room. So I wouldn't just go in and do the living room, for example, because when you do that, the danger is usually within a couple of days, give it a week, it's back to how it was, because you haven't given those particular items that you've taken out of there when you tidied up a specific place that they live in. So they wander back in again and you're back to square one. So we start with clothes, then we do books, then we do papers, then we do kimono, not kimono, kimono, which is miscellaneous. So your bathroom, kitchen, basement, garage, whatever. Craft materials, if you're into crafting, anything like that. And then finally, last, you do sentimental items, because they are so hard to make decisions about. And by the time you've practiced on all the other categories, it makes the sentimental stuff much, much easier. So if you're doing clothes and you find a t-shirt from when you were at university, sentimental, you're never going to wear it again, but you're not sure, should I keep it, shouldn't I? At that point, put it in a box of sentimental things. When you do books, the same. If you find a book that's sentimental, put it in the box. And then at the end, you can go through all the sentimental items and make decisions about those. So that's the real sort of crux of it, and why it works. Because yes, it's a little chaotic as you go through, because you're going by category, but it means that once you've done a category, you organize it by putting everything from that category in a home. It has a cupboard or a drawer where it goes back to, which means everyone in the family knows that's where everything for wrapping a present lives. Everything. You know, we've got a pair of scissors in there, we've got tape as well. If you need to wrap a present, there you go. And all Christmas decorations have a very clear place, and that's where they go back to. But we've joy checked, we've gone through and said, okay, is this item supporting the ideal lifestyle we want? Do we need to keep it? Does it spark joy for me? Marie Kondo says, i.e., does it make you happy? Bit hard to know with like a knife in the kitchen, does it make you happy? But we could,
there are knives that I've gotten rid of because they don't make me happy, because no matter how sharp I get them, they're still not, they don't feel right.
Yeah, exactly. So, and then you're deciding what to keep. You're not actually deciding what to let go. You're deciding what to keep. And once you've decided what to keep, you know that everything else you can now donate or sell, you know, it can leave the home, because you've decided what it is you need in your life and what would support you.
What is the best way to work with kids with this process? I ask very selfishly.
there are so many different ways, and it depends on the age of the child. Give me an age.
Let's see. Let's just randomly say 14. Girl.
Okay. Yeah. Randomly.
She's about this tall. Beautiful soul, really, really hard, to let go of things. And we are getting ready for another international move. So, you know, no problems.
Yeah. No problems at all. So with older children, kids, it's always a good idea to get them to visualize their ideal bedroom. Like, what would their space be like? What do they want to do in there? When they have friends over, what feel do they want it to have? And suddenly, having mountains of soft toys or Legos still standing on the side or whatever remnants they have from their younger childhood suddenly looks less appealing than it did before. So I always work at visualizing their ideal lifestyle. And I did this recently with a tween. Went back later then to work with mum on something. She said, you have to come and see her room. And she had visualized she wanted a table with her makeup that she, and they'd done all this that, and it, she'd, her room was immaculate and it was exactly as she'd visualized it. It was so nice to see. And she got like a really nice cuddly corner with some big cushions so she could sit and read and chill with her friends and everything that she'd thought of. And even like, you can get them thinking about colors, you know, what colors inspire them, you know, what, how do you want to feel? It comes more, and for us as adults as well, what, how do you want to feel? And as the kids get younger, it gets harder because if you ask a four-year-old, do you love this? Do you still need it? They'll say yes to everything. I can promise you, they say yes to everything. But for older kids around the age 14, for them to understand that if it doesn't spark joy for them anymore, it is going to for another child who perhaps isn't as well off. We can donate. Mm-hmm. My son is currently selling some items online and he's allowed to keep the money because they're his items. And then he can invest that money in, it'll be Pokemon cards, I would imagine. But
whatever it is, yes.
Yeah, exactly. But he's been building back up Lego sets and checking that all the bits are there. And we've been reordering bricks that are missing so that the sets are complete. And then you can make quite a lot of money selling these things secondhand online, especially if you wait till around Christmas to do it. Mm-hmm. So, but I think for, especially for old, you know, 14, 15, 16, this idea of you have been really lucky to have this. How about we donate this to somewhere so another child can benefit from this? You're, you know, you've grown out of this now. But also be mindful of the fact that they may have a sentimental attachment to something. So how can we honor that? Is there a special shelf where you can have certain items that are really special to you? Or is there somewhere in a cupboard, like a shelf or a nice box where you can put sentimental items in if they're a bit babyish now to have out on view? Making them get rid of stuff is really dangerous. That's when they're older, they'll start not being able to let go of stuff because they were forced to as children to get rid of everything. And it causes problems for them as adults. So really looking at that sort of emotional connection to other people. How can we help other people by our decluttering, I think is a really good one.
I love that. One of the things that I know comes up for our daughter, but also that I've heard from adults, is this feeling of, and it goes a little bit with the sentimentality, but it's a different level of it. And I'm curious if you've come across this as well. It's that place of, but I'm ready to let go of this thing, but I know that the person who gave this to me, like, would be really hurt if I got rid of it. And I what came to mind was actually a reel that I saw that somebody had put out there, and they said, I need to own that I have an entire cupboard filled with sweaters that people I love give to me over the years. And I need to be okay with letting go of them. But I feel really guilty because I know that the one time a year I'm going to see them, they expect to see me in the sweater. And so that type of sentimentality where we're attached to somebody, what we believe somebody else's emotions are, like the mental clutter that we hold on to, physical clutter for. I'm curious if you've come across that as well.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the amount of times that clients, you open a drawer and it's full of unwanted gifts that they feel they can't get rid of. The way I always talk to people about it is the gift is not in the actual physical item. The gift is in the fact that person thought of you and invested their time, energy, and maybe money to get you that item. The joy was in them gifting you something. And that moment has passed, and it's now yours, and it's yours to decide what you do with it. And if you have people who are going to take offense at you getting rid of things, then you need to have that conversation with them or say to them, I really love that you gift me something every Christmas. It's so special that you invest the time, but I am now going to try and not bring so much stuff into my home. What I would really love is to spend some time with you. How about you take me out for lunch? Or how about we spend a day together? Or you cook a meal for me? That would bring me as much joy, because we never know how much time we have with people. And the time we spend with them is actually more precious than them, you know, spending money on something. I think it's different when someone has spent hours knitting you something. And you
Yeah, absolutely.
But we need to have those conversations. And also, we assume the person's going to expect to see us in it. Mm-hmm. They probably don't.
They don't even maybe remember that they gave it to you. That's one of the things I've noticed over the years. Yeah.
And I think if you donate it, if you let it go with gratitude for the gift that it has been, and know that somebody else will see it in a thrift shop and go, oh my, I love that. And be really excited to pay $2-3 for a really good sweater, for example, then you have passed that joy on. The joy doesn't stop just because you got the gift. The joy can continue. And I've seen this so often when I have a thrift shop that I use a lot for taking client donations. And I put everything in the shopping trolleys that they have from my car, and I wheel it in, and it's like, vroom, and people come and, oh, look at this. This is so great. I've been wanting one of these. And, you know, what doesn't spark joy for you anymore is definitely going to spark joy for somebody else. So we can let things go with gratitude.
Yeah.
There's so many parallels. I'm just sitting here all quiet today because I'm like, ooh, like we do this in all kinds of places and spaces with all kinds of stuff, right? Like we hang on to work tasks that aren't ours anymore. We hang on to things that we think are important that just aren't. We outgrow something at work, but yet we still somehow have this attachment to it. And it really does prevent our growth. It stunts us. It stunts us from experiencing new things, right? When we are hanging on to stuff in our homes, we have less physical space. But when we're hanging on to stuff at work, we have less calendar space. We have less mental capacity to be showing up in the way that we want to show up. There's just there's so many parallels here about who we are and how we hang on to stuff, because we feel like that stuff somehow is what's grounding us or what's important, when really that's not at all what it is.
Well, no. Including thoughts and relationships and beliefs.
Oh. Yeah. I mean, I know, having gone through the KonMari process or those 10 years ago and done my home, I then started realizing, you know, my calendar needs decluttering. My relationships need decluttering. I had a few friends that I decided really didn't need to be such close friends, that it wasn't supporting me and my lifestyle as I wanted to have it. It affects everything. And as you say, your business as well. I think this is why I did this massive pivot, because it was as if I was hanging on to this idea, I have to be a teacher. I wasn't a teacher in a school anymore, but I set up a business teaching. And if I hadn't had the courage to make that change, I wouldn't have realized that, you know, this is what sparks joy for me at this point in my life. You just sometimes have to take a risk and let things go with gratitude. That is in my past, and this is the life I want for myself now. And that can be to do with making decisions about finding time for health, finding time for exercise, finding more time for areas of your business, all of that sort of stuff. And it's so, so important because we don't have to hang on to everything.
Well, it's so interesting. When so a couple of weeks ago, I was leading a retreat in down in Mexico, and one of the attendees definitely was diving into the release of limiting beliefs. And there were some very key ones that she was actively working on releasing. And I've since talked with her. She's back home and she is in like purge mode, and she's been releasing clothes, and she's an artist, so releasing art supplies. But she's also, she was a former educator. She released her need to hold on to her certification. She's like, I don't need to continue to be certified to teach. I'm not going back to teaching right now, right? I can let go of. And so it getting in that place of just taking that first step of release, right? Whether it's, I'm going to go through my clothes and take that step of releasing clothes, or if I'm going to start with releasing some limiting beliefs, just starting that process opens the door for whatever wants to welcome itself in. But our lives are so jam-packed, right, that there isn't room to attract in. And really, it is the basis when we're talking about wanting to manifest something in our lives. Mm-hmm. It is, there needs to be space for that.
Yeah. And when you create that space, and obviously I see that by people creating space in their homes, the knock-on effect is huge. I've had clients who've gone on to lose a huge amount of weight because they haven't felt they've got the time, the space, the energy to do that before. They were so like trapped by this stuff in their homes. Or I've had clients that have suddenly gone, oh, I want to be this. And they've completely retrained and gone off the other side of the world and done retrain. But they would never have done that before. And it frees your mind. And makes you realize that other things are possible. If I can do this, imagine what else is possible. And Marie Kondo says the life-changing magic of tidying up. And it is life-changing. It changed my life beyond recognition. And my husband actually said last week when we were doing the launch for my program, and we did a three-day workshop, online workshop to promote it, and he was in the chat dropping links and all the rest of it for me, and he came through after the first session. He was like, oh, that was so fun. And then he came through after the second day and he was like, I'm loving this. And then the next morning he said to me, I've worked out why this is fun. You're relaxed. I mean, who would have thought you could launch and be relaxed? But it is, because I feel in control of everything. I know where everything is. I'm not overwhelmed by my Canva folders or my emails or, you know, all that stuff that just gets so out of control. You can't ever find anything when you need it. So I've been working in the last year really on organizing my digital world, because I've realized that wasn't as in control as my physical stuff. And that's now made a huge difference, as you were saying before about, you know, the knock-on effect for your business. And, you know, once those things are organized, it makes a huge difference.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. I'm looking around going like, where can I start? Where can I start? Help me. Help me, Caroline.
Well, I always say start with your clothes. It is the first starting point. But before that, you really need to visualize your ideal lifestyle. You've got to really work out what it is that, or how you want to live and how you want to feel. And I can't stress this enough. How do you want to feel when you walk in your front door? How do you want to feel? Not because a kid's left their bag there and the coat and the shoes and, you know, and then you walk into the kitchen and you can't start cooking because you've got to clear up what was there before, you know, all this sort of stuff. How do you want to feel as you move through your home? How do you want to feel when you get up in the morning? And when you have, you're clear about that, then I really would start with clothes, because clothes are things obviously we wear on our bodies. They're a reflection of us and our personality. And I know that my clothes are radically different now than they were even 5 years ago. And we've all still got stuff in our closets from probably when we were still at university.
Have you been to my house?
No, I've been to enough clients, I know.
Actually, I will say a great way to do this is move internationally, because you're like, I don't want to pay to move that thing.
No, exactly. And I have a client, an American client here, and we have done a radical declutter on her home. And I must stress, KonMari is not about minimalism. This is right. This comes up in the media all the time. If you like stuff, then have stuff in your home. As long as it sparks joy for you, you can have as much stuff as you like. So it's not, if you want to be minimalist, fine. But we have done a radical declutter. She'd done 5 international moves and always just packed everything up and taken it with her or put it into storage. And this move, everything arrived from Paris, from England, boxes and boxes. She hadn't seen some of them for 7 years. So we've gone through, and she can't wait now. She wants to enjoy her home now. But when she next moves, they're going to weigh everything. And she can't wait to see how much less in weight her stuff is, because she thinks it's going to be absolutely incredible. So, yeah, very freeing.
You don't want to talk about a weight loss program. That's what we did when we moved. So we moved from Chicago to Montreal 2.5 years ago. And we were living in the house that my husband grew up in. So we had all of his family stuff still throughout the house, in the attic and in the basement. And yeah, we went on a significant weight loss program when they first came in and said, well, we're going to assume it's going to be this many pounds to move. And I was like, I'm not paying to move that many pounds of shit.
Yeah.
No. Mm-hmm. So no. This has been an absolute joy. I really have enjoyed the conversation, and thanks for the tidbits of to help us through our own personal shenanigans. Where can people, I know you just are launching, but where can people find you if they want to continue following along and learn from you?
Well, there's 2 main places. One is my website, which is caroline-thor.com, as can be seen on the screen. And then there's also my podcast, which you can find anywhere, which is called Living Clutter-Free Forever. And that comes out every Tuesday. So that's a really good starting point as well, if you want to get more information and more tips and tricks.
Beautiful. And
new subscriber right here.
There we go.
Yeah, cool.
And for those of you who did not see the things on the screen, we will go ahead and have all of this information in the show notes so that people can easily click and find you in the world. Louise, what do we have going on in the world?
We always have some great things happening. You can find out more at kickasscareer.com. So tune in there and you can see our events and also link to our new Inspireize network from our website. So you are able to check that out. We have Micro Habits coming up on April 4th at 12 Central, 1 Eastern, or fill in the blank wherever you are. And then next week, Aligning Passions with Profession with Laura Mickler. So that's going to be another great conversation. Love it. If you've loved this episode, please subscribe, like, however you've listened. The more you do that, the more the world hears our episodes too. So thank you for that. Caroline, thank you. You've planted some amazing seeds with me today and got me really thinking about that whole, it's that mental clutter that's really, really kind of come to my attention, I think, and what in my environment is causing me distraction. With my friends coming for the weekend from out of town, I did exactly what you said, right? Like, do not look behind my couch. I think maybe it's time to have another look, and starting with that visualization, I think is key. So thank you for that tip.
You're very welcome. Thank you.
Yeah.
So any last thoughts before we sign off for today? Want to make sure that we get in those last little golden nuggets of wisdom.
I think my biggest takeaway is this idea that it doesn't just have to be stuff. It permeates into every area of our life, that we can improve our organization, whether it's in work, relationships, home, so that life runs more smoothly and we feel more in control and calmer.
Yeah. I love that. Yeah. For me, it's the going back to the feeling. So much of the work that I do with my clients, with my entrepreneurs, even though we're talking about business a lot of the time, it's the feelings. What do you want to feel? What do you want to experience? And how do you want to be experiencing your life, your business, your connection with your business and the people that are connected to it? So that feeling part of it is so key. So thank you for bringing that to the forefront for all of us to learn from. Absolutely.
Yeah. Lovely. Thanks for this conversation. Thanks for joining us this evening.
My husband just put a note over on YouTube, by the way. He'll start pulling the boxes out from the crawl space tomorrow. So you have another dedicated individual in the world.
Fantastic.
Caroline, thank you again. And thank you everyone for joining us, whether you joined us live or caught the replay in any of the places you can find us. We look forward to seeing you back here. Same bat time, same bat channel next week.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. Bye for now.
Take care. Bye.